The Coffee Break Liberty Podcast, episode 23. Welcome back, everybody, to the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast with me, your host, Leo Sowers, and the Liberty Dog himself, Gino. Before we jump into this week's episode, I want to remind you guys about the store at coffeebreakliberty.com. So if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, in the upper portion of the page, you will see a tab for the store, and I want you to click on it. And when you do, you are going to see the best mugs. You're going to see mugs with anarchist symbology, quotes, Coffee Break Liberty symbols and the logo and all that on mugs, t-shirts, laptop cases, phone cases, things like that. So I want you to go check it out at coffeebreakliberty.com. Like I said, it's in the store tab at the top of the page because you want to be the first in your neighborhood to have that Coffee Break Liberty mug. You know, you want to be that person, right? You're always trying to one-up the Joneses. But when you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, I want you to hang out for a few seconds, like 10 to 15 seconds on the main page, and you're going to get hit with a prompt to sign up for the newsletter. And I'm telling you, sign up for that newsletter because you're not going to get newsletters from me. I'm not going to flood your inbox. But what you will get is a discount code for 10% off of your first order from the coffeebreakliberty.com store. So go to coffeebreakliberty.com, wait for that newsletter, sign up for it, get that discount code, and then go to the store and get yourself a mug. The first topic of this week's podcast is going to kind of reach back to something that happened right as I was releasing last week's podcast. But Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, you know, she had concern that Americans in rural areas of the United States, not that they couldn't because they didn't have the means, but that they did not know how to scan their ID and put it on a computer or whatever, take a picture of their ID for whatever the heck they were talking about this week. Probably, you know, more vaccine passports or something stupid like that. And she got, you know, lambasted about it on Fox News and all that, you know, right? They're just, oh, she just doesn't care about you and Oh, see how out of touch they are with regular Americans. And at first I was kind of like, you know, it's a little bit over the top. But then I started thinking about it. It's worse than what Fox News thinks it is. It's worse than what One America News thinks it is. These are people in power that despise you and me because we live in what they would call flyover states, because we don't live in California or New York or DC. They do not care about us. Not only do they not care about us, they think we are their serfs, their slaves. To them, we are less than human. We are dumb to them. They think we are dumb. They think we are ignorant. We don't know what we're doing. They're probably surprised we even know how to cook food without burning ourselves. This is what they think. This is what this ruling class, this elite class thinks of you and I. They think we are, and it goes both ways. It's not just Harris and Biden on the left. There are plenty of people. Mitch McConnell is the same way. They think most of us in these flyover states don't know what we're doing. Can't tell, you know, the only way we know what left is when we look at our fingers, you know, and look at our hands. Oh, it makes an L and we know when to turn left. They despise us. And this just supports the idea that there's more than one America. You know, these are the people in the ruling class and they hate us. They think we are trash. And they're probably right about a few of us, I'm sure. Just as we're right about several of them. They are trash as well. This elitist mentality from those in power is harmful. And it's disgusting, right? It's despicable. We can't trust these leaders to, you know, look out for us when they think we're dumb. They think we don't know how to work a printer. Like you just can't, like nobody in America can go to Walmart and pick one up, a printer scanner for $80. Like nobody can do that in America. Nope. Only Harris can do that. Only Biden knows how to. Well, we know Biden doesn't know how to do that. But only Vice President Harris and the ruling class elites that live in D.C., New York, or California. Those are the only ones that know how to do that. There's no way any of us would learn how to, you know, use a computer. What's a computer? They probably think we all say. We don't know what email is. No, there's no way. What's that internet thing? Who? Oh. We don't know anything about that. I'm sure that's what they all think of us. Harris clearly does. She thinks, and along with a lot of her lackeys and those same people, they think we are ignorant and dumb. And it shows, right? They're really good at showing us what they think of us, how they feel about us. What's comforting, though, is that they think they're smart. They think they're clever. They think, oh, they'll never catch on to what we think of them. When time and time again, they are constantly putting their feet in their mouth, stumbling over their words, not knowing what to say. Now, fair enough, there are plenty of Americans that eat that stuff up. There are plenty of people in the United States that agree with her, sadly. They think that, oh, yeah, you live in Texas? Well, you probably don't even have all your teeth or something like that. There is at minimum two Americas. And I'm not going to say it's just the coasts versus the flyover states, but it's definitely this elitist mentality. And you're going to get it in places like New York City, D.C., San Francisco, L.A. Austin is another one that gets it. Parts of Miami, parts of Denver, parts of Chicago. There's this elitist mentality in a lot of these hubs, these places, where they think the rest of us are dumb and we don't even know what electricity is. Bet. We make the food you eat. Stop trying to take a crap on us. Stop treating us like serfs and slaves. Because without us, without these flyover states, y'all would starve and it wouldn't take long. I mean, this is just simple economics, right? And it's not really where I wanted to go with it, but cities are consumers, right? They don't produce much. Like, some industrial cities do, but most of the cities where all of this mentality comes from, this elitist mentality comes from, they're not producing anything. It's not like Chicago is, you know, a big staple in the automobile industry. Yeah, they're part of the Rust Belt, fair enough. But those factories are all closing up anyways. DC doesn't produce anything. It's just where all the corrupt politicians decide to hang out. New York's not producing anything but content. There's no manufacturing coming out of New York City. Nothing major anyways. San Francisco, LA, the same thing. Heck, California, they don't manufacture anything in California except for Tesla cars because they, you know, California has made it so difficult for manufacturing in that state that they seem to essentially want to be running manufacturing out of the state. Environmental reasons, and, you know, they can give their own friends tax breaks. So if you're making, you know, solar arrays or green technology in California, yeah, you'll be able to manufacture in California, but that's about it. Anything else, they're going to run you out of town. I know I got a little off the trail there. That wasn't the idea. But it takes it back to these cities, these ones I mentioned earlier, these hubs, they don't produce anything. They're nothing but consuming, right? That's where all the food goes. That's where all the automobiles go, for the most part. And they think the rest of us are dumb. They think we can't figure out how a printer works, how email works. It kind of segues into my next topic. There was a recent survey that came out this last week, and it broke down the United States into, I think it was 5 or 6 regions, not really important, but there was 2 regions that had very high favorability rating towards secession. The Southeast, and they broke it down via party, so Republican, Independent, or Democrat. So Republicans in the Southeast were at 67% in favor of secession. Independents were almost 50%. Democrats were about 20%. In the Pacific Northwest was the other one, and I think California may have been included in that too. It may have just all been the West Coast. Whichever it was, Pacific Northwest or West Coast, Democrats, those that affiliate with the Democratic Party out there, were in favor of secession by 49%. There's more than two Americas, and it's not a crazy idea to think that maybe there's a better solution than all being under this one big federal government. It's not a good plan. Like, you would never encourage a friend of yours to stay in an abusive relationship. Why should we do this? Why should we continue to do this? We can still have a very strong connection with other parts of America. You know, you can really design it to the way it was supposed to be, originally thought to be. federal government was almost non-existent, but they were individual states that worked together. There's no problem with that. There's nothing crazy about that idea. Yeah, you would need a different passport or something, maybe if it became an actual different nation, you know. Whatever. That's not, you know, if that's the biggest obstacle, life's pretty good. Life's pretty good. I mean, imagine having a federal government of, you know, the people that write the laws or at least vote on them, 500 people, give or take, that have so much power over 330 million people. It doesn't make sense. You're not represented. The idea was, you know, you'd be represented in Congress and whatnot and all of that, but you're not represented. Not at all. You've got, in California, you know, the rate of that, of one congressional district is something like 700,000. Something crazy. You got one person trying to represent 700,000 people in California. In Wyoming, it's one for the whole state, and that state population is about 400,000. So you got one person trying to represent 400,000 people. That said, in Wyoming, they tend to very much think alike in Wyoming. So there is that. But the idea that you and I are represented by people that don't care about us, and they don't. They do not care about us. Thousands of miles away for some of us, depending on which coast you live on, making more money than you and I can fathom. They are in the 0.1% of the 1%, some of these people. You know, Feinstein, she's a billionaire. She has more money than Trump did. But you never heard about that, right? You never heard about how much money Feinstein had, but she has more money than Trump does. And everybody was convinced Trump was out of touch because, you know, he's a billionaire. He doesn't know what it's like to be a working man. And yeah, of course he doesn't. He's a billionaire, but neither does Feinstein. But she's supposed to represent you. It's time to consider a national divorce. You know, that sounds better than secession, right? But why would anybody want, you know, in Texas, in Florida, why would you want somebody in Portland or Seattle if you live in Miami or Orlando or vice versa? Why would you want them to have any say, any impact on your life? And they do. They do have an impact on your life because of the federal government and the way it's set up. Why would anybody want to live in a system like that? It doesn't make any sense. The idea that you're going to be honestly and truly represented by somebody in the 0.1% of the 1%. It doesn't make any sense. It's foolish. It's foolish. It's truly time to consider a national divorce or something so detrimental and so striking to the federal government that what you decide for your municipality or your local area in Florida doesn't impact those in Washington or Portland and vice versa. The federal government wasn't supposed to be this monstrosity that it is. It wasn't supposed to be the largest employer in the United States, that's for sure. For those who don't know, the federal government is the largest employer by like a long shot in the United States. Over 2 million employees last time I checked. And that's not including those in the military. And to be fair, you know, for those who get all, you know, wound up about it, it's not out of hate. I live in Texas, well, this week. I don't hate people in Portland, Oregon, or Seattle, Washington. But I do hate what they try to push on me via the federal government. I do hate that they have an impact on my life. Why should somebody I do not know, thousands of miles away, and we're supposed to be in the same country, have such a negative impact on my life? They could, and they do. Why is that? Why is that acceptable? How does this become acceptable? This form of abuse, right? This Stockholm syndrome. Because we're told we have liberty and freedom. Because, oh, it's written on a wall over there. It's written on the dollar. See, it says liberty or freedom or something. Oh, on the quarter or whatever, you know. Just put it on the money. Stamp it on the money or put it. Just have the president, who can't even fumble his way through a speech, just have him say liberty and freedom about 20 times in a speech. And there you go. That's how you know you have liberty and freedom. That's how you know you don't live under a totalitarian and authoritarian government. Now, yes, there have been worse, and the U.S. has been worse at times, but that doesn't give them the excuse. Now, you do not get to point to bad behavior to justify other bad behavior. It's truly time to consider a national divorce. It makes sense. It would be more coherent. I think people wouldn't get so wound up about who was in the White House because it wouldn't matter. And that's the idea, right? People's whole identity these past 4 years, 5 years, really since like social media kind of became in vogue, right, has been who's in the White House. That's their entire identity. That shouldn't be. It shouldn't matter because the power that they should hold should be so small that it does not matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter who's in Washington because most of the stuff they do anyways is unconstitutional. It's time to consider a national divorce. Like I said, you wouldn't advocate for your friend or your loved one or your sister or your brother to stay in an abusive relationship. Why are we doing it to people we don't even know? Why are we suggesting that we should all stay in an abusive relationship that many of us, most of us, most Americans when polled, aren't happy with the system and what's going on? Why do we continue this? Why do we allow this to continue? Something's got to change. And the last topic for this week's podcast is going to be on the protest movements we're seeing right now in Cuba and France. And I'm told other ones are popping up now too, but I have not been on the news and been tracking all of them. So we'll just go with the ones that I'm currently aware of, but Cuba and France. Cuba this week exploded into protest. Havana has pretty much been locked down under martial law now for a few days. You know, curfews are back in place at night. If you're out past curfew, you're getting thrown in jail. And if you start protesting, you might get thrown in jail during the day too. So in Cuba right now, they're protesting against the government, but for like COVID relief. And it's kind of a whole thing, right? So they're protesting against the government for not providing enough for them. And I don't know if they really get it. Like we hope that the Cubans get more freedom and more liberty out of this. But it's like they're almost protesting for just a more powerful government that will have more control over their lives, right? Like when the government in Cuba tells you, right, these communist governments, they say, hey, we are going to provide A, B, and C for you. But when they don't, the people aren't protesting like to end the government. They're just protesting sometimes like, hey, why aren't you providing more? Like NHS a few years ago, the National Health Service in the UK, a lot of Americans saw British people protesting against it and got excited. But what we didn't recognize, at least a lot of Americans didn't, is that they weren't protesting against it to try and get rid of NHS. They were protesting because they wanted more NHS. It's a different mentality than many of us in the United States are familiar with. You know, and we're seeing it here now as well, to be fair. But many of you, I'm sure, that listen to this podcast, when we protest against something or if we speak out against something, we want it to end. We generally don't want an expansion of it. But you see that kind of on the left, right? A few years ago in Arizona, they had the, and I wrote about this at the time, you know, the educators, the teachers' unions were trying to go bust and strike and all that. And people were protesting for more control and, you know, a much larger education, public education system, not to break it up. It's just one of those things where people get used to, they've become accustomed to the government, quote unquote, providing an education, more an indoctrination, but, you know, that's a topic for a different day. So what we're seeing in Cuba, like I said, it's kind of a mixed bag, you know. Are they really protesting? Yes, they're protesting against the government and its failures, but are they protesting for more liberty? In some areas, we've seen where it looks like they're clearly protesting for more liberty. In other protests, though, it clearly looks like they're just protesting more for the fact that they're angry that they haven't gotten COVID relief. Not that the government has messed up and they don't want the government to go away. They just want the government to do what it promised. Not recognizing that it's a communist government. It's not going to do what it promised. It can't. It can't. In France right now, though, we are seeing anti-lockdown protests. But it's also another thing of, you know, it's what we saw here in the States. A lot of people will shut up if they get a check. A lot of people will stop protesting and stop complaining if you just give them a check. That's probably what's going to happen in France. They're not going to bring, you know, lift the restrictions. They won't lift that stuff. They'll eventually just print more money and give them a check. So it's nice to see people in the street, you know, shooting fireworks at cops and all that and rabble-rousing. But, you know, we in America, Americans, we protest differently generally, you know, especially those of us kind of, I guess, I hate to say the right, but those in the liberty movement, when we protest for things or against things, which it's usually against things, we want those to be abolished. So when we see others protest in other countries, we start thinking, oh, that's probably what they want. They want the government to be abolished. That's not necessarily the case. In the UK, it wasn't, with NHS. In many other, in Venezuela, a lot of the protests there, it wasn't, you know. Some of them were. Some of those protests were for abolishing the government, but some of them were just like, hey, we just want the government to do its job. We don't mind that there's still a socialist government failing just because they don't know. They're not educated in that fashion. I mean, heck, they don't even have shoes. That said, you know, there are, like I said, a liberty movement in Cuba. We're seeing it now. Hopefully it rises. Hopefully it grows and can actually have some effective change. Because here at Coffee Break Liberty, for years now, I've been pointing out small liberty movements. You know, I've talked about the Catalonia one in Spain years ago and the mess that that was. And before, if I'm not mistaken, I wrote about Puerto Rico and its independence movement over 100 years ago. And I'm still for a Puerto Rican, a free Puerto Rican country. I think it should not be a territory. And that's a topic for another day. It's not that long, but it's just really fun history stuff and kind of weird how it all went down. So though it is exciting, you know, I want to point that out to see these people protesting, but we need to be kind of aware of what they're actually protesting. Some of them are protesting for an abolishment of their government or more liberty. Some of them are just protesting because the government screwed up and they wanted to do more. It's kind of counterintuitive to what we're used to seeing in the States. Before I jump off here, guys, I got a few notes for the show. I want to remind you first, though, of the affiliate program that I am a part of. So if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, in the upper portion of the page, there is an affiliate tab, and I want you to click on that affiliate tab and read about it. But I'm also going to tell you about it right now. There's a banner for Bluehost on that page. Bluehost is the hosting service that, well, hosts this website and podcast. So if you sign up for Bluehost and start your webpage through that banner, you're going to get a discounted rate and get this. You're going to get what now I call the Leo Sowers deal because I'm stealing it from Tom Woods. So you sign up for this website through that link, you're going to get a discounted rate, and then I am going to give you free publicity on the podcast, the Instagram, the Facebook page, my personal social medias. You're going to reach thousands of people right off the bat with your new website if you use that banner on my page through the affiliate program. So go check it out because we should all have a website. Everybody should have a website. And get your hosting through Bluehost on the banner on my page. One more note before I sign off. In short, there's just going to be some logistical things going on. I'm not sure if I will go live next week. Heck, there may not even be a podcast next week. We're going to have to wait and see. In short, I'm moving from Texas to Georgia. So with the logistics of that, I hope to get one recorded. I will be in Savannah at that time to hopefully have one recorded because that's where I'm moving to, Savannah, Georgia. We'll see, though. No promises. I put it on the Facebook page, you know, hey, the content may slow down a little bit. So hopefully I can keep up. But the next time I talk to you guys, at least via podcast, will be from Georgia. But until then, take care.